B.B. and Jeff Buckles. This is Mike Moody. And today in our Bible study program, we're still in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Join us next week as we'll be with one of the other brothers as they're in one of their book studies of the New Testament as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you again for this chance to open your word. We think of our Savior and give him the honor and the glory, thanking him for the very strength and the opportunity to mention these things over the airway. We pray that you would rightly divide the word of truth in our hearts that we might, by your Spirit, bring it forth in a way that's honoring to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you recall yesterday, we quickly went through the first 9 verses, speaking of those things which Paul was warning Timothy of, the things of the last days. And we went through those, some 19 warnings or descriptions of the things of the last days, of the perilous times that will come, the hard, difficult times he spoke of. We see that verse 10, where we pick up the day, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, we'll cut off at verse 12. Here, in verses 10 to 12, what a contrast to the things that was mentioned in the first 9 verses. We see here as Paul is talking to this one Timothy, as he spoke of those that would have a form of godliness but denying the power of in verse 5, of those in verse 6 that would ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and then verse 8 of those that would resist the truth, reprobate concerning the faith. Well, in verse 10, he then starts speaking of himself as an example to them. And he mentions here some 9 areas of an example of himself as an example for the person and work of Christ, as he is a representative of, we might say, as a servant of the Most High. Paul was a good example. Here he speaks of, one, his doctrine, two, his manner of life, which is the fact that people do watch and see our manner of life. We see his purpose he mentioned. Philippians 1:21 speaks of how to live, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. So we're to glorify him, to live for his namesake. He mentions also here faith. He mentions long-suffering. He mentions love. So these 3 in a row, faith, long-suffering, and love or charity, again, as back in chapter 2, we see a portion of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22. Well, he goes on, he mentions patience, as also in chapter 2, when he's speaking of the attitude of a servant, must be patient. Well, the last 2 of these 9 are a little bit different than the first 7. The first 7 are things that you would naturally see as positive things, things that you would want someone to say, here's a good example, as Paul was mentioning. But the last 2, it speaks of persecutions and afflictions, things that you would not readily run to. Yet it spoke of his great consistency as an example for the things of the Lord. We'd like to think a little bit here upon that. As he said in verse 11, he is mentioning the things that they would have known, his persecutions and afflictions. He says, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Now, these are 3 places that are very interesting. If you look onto a map of the missionary journeys of Paul, he took 3, and if you count the one when he ended up going to Rome and was martyred and didn't return, obviously, back to home, you might say he had four missionary journeys. Well, early in his first missionary journey, he went to these places, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. So very soon after he and Barnabas was commended to the work of doing the missionary work, traveling around, preaching the gospel, establishing New Testament meetings, and coming around later and checking on them and encouraging them in the faith and appointing shepherds and elders in the meeting, things of this nature. Well, early in this first missionary journey, he was in these three little towns. And that's where he suffered this persecution and afflictions that he mentions here in 2 Timothy 3. Isn't that interesting that it wasn't after he was a seasoned missionary? It was early on. Even the very city which he was commended out of, him and Barnabas, Antioch, was one of the three places where he had these persecutions. If you were to go back into Acts chapter 13 and 14, you would see this. Acts 13, at the very beginning, it speaks of five men that were the prophets and teachers in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas was two of those five men, and they were the two that the Spirit of God separated them under the work of the mission field. So of these five men, two of them went on to the field, and we see here that early on there was persecution. You could see there in chapter 13, and then particularly in at the end of chapter 13, verse 45, it speaks of how ones were filled with envy and spake against them. They were contradicting and blaspheming the words that they spoke. It showed in verse 50 of how some were stirred up, raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. On into chapter 14, we see how some were stirred up. They had their minds evil affected, it says, and there was a division. An assault came, it says. There was ones that were despiteful and ones that stoned them. And they persuaded the people, it says, down in toward the end of chapter 14, and they stoned Paul. We see that Paul and Barnabas was persecuted and had afflictions early in their missionary journeys. But what we see here is 2 Timothy chapter 3, that this was an example to the people along with his doctrine and manner of life and his purpose and faith and long-suffering and love and patience. Also, the persecutions and afflictions was an example to the people, to the saints of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing that he was steadfast even from the very beginning of his journey? There was persecution, yet he was steadfast. And I say he, we speak of Paul as one that is so well noted. He was used by God to write much of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But Barnabas was there by his side throughout there in Acts chapter 13 and 14, suffering along with him. So these two men were steadfast for the person and the name and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we could go on with that, but I would note this. Remember, it started even at Antioch, the very city which he was commended from. Well, in verse 11, it mentions here of how they endured. If you remember that in the book of 2 Timothy, this word is in different Greek renderings, but the word in the English, endured, is mentioned a handful of times. It is almost a theme of this book, how he endured. Chapter 2, verse 3, as we looked at the last chapter and the different descriptions of a believer, here it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." A good soldier of Christ in his army, if you will, is told to endure hardness, difficulty. Now, in our portion in chapter 3, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let's look at a couple of verses in connection with that in the Gospels. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 12 And as we flip back to chapter 16, let's look at verse 24. Here, speaking of discipleship. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What a verse. It goes on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here we think of the difficulties that occurs when living for the Lord, following righteously after the Lord, living godly for Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. But in John 16, it also tells us, if we look at verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Well, that's true. We have peace in Christ, but the rest of the verse says this, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My friend, what an exhortation that we that are in Christ have no promise of everything being perfect in our life here. As Peter told the believers, he called them pilgrims and strangers. We are not at home here. Heaven is our home. We are pilgrims and strangers here on earth. So when we think of how Paul here speaks, of how if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. But my friend, one day we will reign with Christ. Glory to his name. We'd like to close today with just one more verse in verse 13. After he speaks of those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here we see, as in the previous verses we looked at yesterday, we see imposters. Here it's speaking of seducers, as in imposters. The verses we looked at yesterday was speaking of seducers that would again potentially be imposters. It would come into houses and led captivity, silly women laden with sins. Here we see this as the scripture exhorts us to turn away from ones that are imposters, those that are not real. We see this, but in verse 13, it says it will wax worse and worse, but notice the words deceiving. And being deceived, you know, there are ones out there that are in parts of religious organizations that are not following the doctrine of Christ, that themselves may not think they're deceiving anyone. They are themselves deceived, yet in turn they are deceiving others. Yet there are some that may actually, God forbid, be trying to deceive people, but yet, regardless, it says here that seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So let's have some compassion on those that are preaching straight heresy, for they themselves have souls, they need to be saved. They themselves that are doing the deceiving are deceived themselves. So let us pray for those that know not Christ as their Savior, particularly those that are round about us that hold not to the doctrine of Christ. We trust that this has been of some encouragement this week as we've looked at chapter 2 of the Great House, of those that would be unto honor or dishonor as a believer in the sight of the Lord, and those that would be a servant. And then in chapter 3, we looked at the last days and the perilous times, the hard, difficult times that shall come. And yet we also saw how Paul was a great example in contrast to these ones that would be lovers of self and of pleasure. Paul was speaking of
his manner of life, of a great encouragement to the saints in his day, yet even in this very word of God before us, even to this day, his manner of life exhorts us to live godly in Christ Jesus. May we pray one for another. This is Mike Moody for Jeff Buckles and Mark Beattie, saying if you know not Christ as your Savior, turn to him, the only Savior of sinners. Thank you.